So Tessa Barker is coming back up for our next presentation. She's with the University of Oregon State University, and she's going to be presenting on organic strawberry transplant production in Oregon, effects of container size on leaf development and cost of planting. Thank you, Tessa.
Hello again, I'm Tessa, and I'll be talking about containerized strawberry transplants. And this project was done under leadership of Javier Fernandez-Salvador and our faculty research assistant, Erica Cherno. All right, so organic strawberry production in the U.S. is led by California with over 5,000 certified organic acres. This is according to NAS 2016 statistics. They're followed by Florida. Oregon comes in third at 169 certified organic strawberry acres, and Washington is fourth. Beyond that, the Oregon market is primarily conventional, with cultivars grown specifically for processing, and so these are June bearers. And across the nation, organic farms use mostly conventional bare roots to plant out their fields. This is something that's not very commonly known, but the commercial availability clause within the National Organic Program allows you to use conventional planting stock if organic planting stock isn't available, which is the case in the strawberry industry. And so most are currently not using containerized transplants, but we'll be talking about why those have some benefits. So the strawberry market overall in Oregon has decreased in acreage for cultivars that are grown specifically for processing, whereas there have been increases in fresh market production. And so we see this opportunity for organic fresh market production in particular to offer farmers potentially increased profits due to that higher price premium that comes along with organic produce, as well as possibly increased profits due to the season extension that's possible with the fresh market cultivars, and these are day neutrals. And so studies have shown that strawberries grown from containerized transplants can have higher plant establishment, higher plant survival, lower mortality, and earlier yields. And so in combination with fresh market cultivars, there's really this opportunity for a longer season and just a lot more production. However, information is needed for best practices for organically approved on-farm production of transplants because these are just not really available at all. I think there are some studies being done, but they're not commercially available yet. And so the objectives of our study were to evaluate transplant size for adequate leaf development, and we wanted to determine the optimal size of transplant for cost-effective production and quick field establishment, and this is all in an organic production system. And so first we conducted a preliminary study, and this was because this was my first really agronomic trial, and I really needed to get familiar with purchasing the bare root strawberries, potting them up, data collection, and just sort of work out all the potential problems. And so we conducted this first study in Corvallis, Oregon, Oregon State University, using an unheated 20 by 40 hoop house. And the key thing here was that this hoop house had no automated irrigation, and so we were relying on hand watering, which I'll touch upon later, had some issues. We started this in February of 2018, and we used just one cultivar. We used Albion bare roots, and we grew them in two different container sizes. And so if you're familiar with a kind of standard nursery tray, this correlates to 36 cells, and then also the the larger were in 18 cells per tray. And we used OMRI-listed planting media, and we measured leaf area every week for 6 weeks. And so the learning outcomes of this preliminary study were really pointing out to us how irrigation is incredibly crucial. As you can see, first in the top photo and then down below, these trays were on the edges and corners of the benches in the greenhouse, and so they didn't receive adequate irrigation. And so here, these are effects that we can't really attribute to the treatments. However, in general, by week six, total leaf area was 22% greater for the plants grown in the larger cells. And so we thought that cell size was significant. However, due to the issues with irrigation, we wanted to repeat this to have some data that was a little bit more reliable, a little bit stronger. And so we replicated the experiment at the North Willamette Research and Extension Center in Aurora, and this is pretty close to Corvallis, so climate's not really a factor here. And here we were able to use a retractable roof greenhouse that had an automated sprinkler system, made our lives much easier, and made watering more consistent. And we started this in April of 2018. In this instance, we used two different cultivars, but otherwise our methods were the same. We used bare roots, potted them up in large and small cells, and we used the same growing media. And in this study, we also added a treatment of duration of bare root cold storage. And so finally, in this study, we also planted the transplants out in a field and an organically certified parcel to determine cost and ease of planting. And same as the preliminary study, we collected leaf area measurements, and then currently we're collecting yield data. We're also doing some biomass measurements. We're doing crown diameter and number, and we're also going to be doing some season extension in the fall. So hopefully a lot more data. And so looking at the results from this, you can see that cultivar, cell size, and age of plant are significant. The bottom left photo shows just one example of a tray, randomized Albion and Seascape, but these were in the large cells, and so they have they did tend to have greater leaf area, whereas in the upper right, the small cells, again, just an example of a randomized tray of Albion and Seascape, they tended to have smaller or less leaf area. And age was also significant, and here just an example showing plant growth over time. We have the first preliminary study on the left, second on the right, and we haven't actually statistically run these results together, but just looking at them, we do see some similarities. You can see that in the first 4 weeks or so, the cell size does not appear to have really much of an impact. However, by week five, you start to see that the large cell, that's the line in blue, tends to have greater leaf area. And so as I said, we also looked at cold storage of the bare roots, and we found that the storage effect was significant. However, this was pretty interesting. We found that some plants held in cold storage longer actually developed greater leaf area than plants stored for a shorter period of time. And here we can really only speculate why this may be happening. And we intend to do future studies and communicate more with the nurseries about the specific practices, because a lot happens to these plants before we receive them in their box of hopefully chilled bare roots. And so there's just a lot of different factors we could be investigating. And finally, we looked at the cost and ease of planting, because it's one thing for these plants grown in large cells to have greater leaf area. However, we needed to look at, you know, is this practical for a farmer to do? So we looked at the cost of materials and labor, and we looked at low and medium density plantings. So for the low density, that would come to about 20,000 plants per acre, whereas the medium density is about 32,000 plants per acre. And we also looked at two different options for labor. We looked at people with maybe a little bit less experience, just because these transplants, it's not the industry standard to be planting them. Usually most people are using bare roots. And then we also looked at a labor cost option too, that is the people with more experience in these practices. And so for both low and medium density, the small cell transplants, materials and labor cost about half that of the large cell. And so really the most important findings were that cultivar, cell size, and storage effects were all significant, and that the large cell transplants have greater leaf area, but as I just stated, there is a higher cost associated with that. And so to really bring it all home, we're now collecting yield data as well as more comprehensive data on plant growth to find out if it's really worth the cost, the materials and the labor, if this offers farmers a potential for increased profits. And I just want to thank Strawberry Initiative funds from the Oregon Legislature. Very grateful. And we also received a number of in-kind donations from nurseries and local businesses. So very grateful for that. Any questions? Yeah.
You mentioned something about season extension a lot. along the way. Can you describe what your plans are for that part of your work?
Yeah, definitely. So we are probably going to be installing some row covers this fall because just again, due to this kind of being my first experiment, we didn't actually get the plants in the field till what's kind of considered late for strawberries in general. And so not only do the plants still probably have a lot of vigor, but as day neutrals, they have the potential to keep producing so long as we keep them warm enough. And so, yeah, we're probably going to use some short row covers. Yeah, no, oh, so, and the question was, how did we measure leaf area? And so this was sort of an approximation. We basically used different sized coins and compared them to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as determining the cost, are you going to compare that to the yield and how much you sell it for?
Definitely, yeah, we would like to do that. And so we personally are not selling these plants, but selling the fruit, but we would like to do like a cost-benefit analysis to compare if organically produced strawberries available in say October, you know, if they help offset the cost of the materials.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that longer cold storage led to greater leaf area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's really so the question was whether or not we're looking at the runnering that's happening because that could also be correlated with the amount of cold storage, and that's really interesting that you bring that up because just anecdotally we have noticed in the field that certain plants do seem to be runnering more and less, and in general we have had a lot of runnering, so that could be perhaps related to the amount of cold storage that they received. Great. Thanks.